Amen. Thank you, Judy. Open your Bibles here this morning to the book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 25. Let's continue our series through the book of Proverbs. My title of my message here this morning, A Vessel Fit for the Master's Use. A Vessel Fit for the Master's Use. Proverbs chapter 25, verse 1 says these words, "These are also the Proverbs of Solomon, which the men of Hezekiah, king of Judah, copied out. It is the glory of God to conceal a thing, but it is the honor of kings to search out a matter. The heavens for height, the earth for depth, and the heart of the king is unsearchable. Take away the dross, and there shall come forth a vessel fit for the refiner." Let's pray here this morning. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. And Father, I thank you for being a faithful God. I thank you that you hold our right hands, God. As we, your people, Lord, you lead us and guide us and strengthen us. And Father, I thank you for your word, which is truth. And Lord, it's quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. It's alive. And Father, I pray as we look into your word here this morning that you would guide us and help us to be men and women of a clean vessel, a vessel of honor for you, Lord. And Father, we live in dark days and troubled times. And yet, Lord, we know that you're searching to and fro for those whose heart is right with you. So help us toward this end, God, to be vessels of honor, and we'll give you thanks. And Lord, I pray that our Lord Jesus, who had the preeminence in all things, help me be a vessel that honors your Son, Jesus Christ, and your word here this morning. And bless the hearts and ears of each one that hears your word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You know, a vessel of honor takes me to a passage in the New Testament here. If you turn to the book of 2 Timothy, and 2 Timothy chapter 2, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 14 says, "He sings of these things, put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers." Excuse me. "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babbling, so they will increase unto more ungodliness. And the words will eat as does a canker, of whom Hermeneutus and Philetus, whom concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and of earth or clay, and some to honor, some to dishonor." Verse 21, "If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a what? Vessel of unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, prepared unto every good work." Being a vessel of God. Now, we as God's people, we want to be this vessel. Where does God dwell today? Through the Holy Spirit, He dwells in our hearts. We have this vessel that we have to give to God. Now, what can we give to God? We can give God our time, our talents, our treasures, our temples, and our testimonies. That's what we can give to God. Every one of us has that. Every one of us has those five things that you can give back to God as being a vessel of honor for Him. Give Him our time. What does that mean? Well, when I get up in the morning, Lord, this day is your day. Lord, when I get up in the morning, Lord, not my will, but what? Thy will be done. I can give God my time. Lord, I am yours. What do you want me to do today? My talents. What abilities has God given you? What are you good at? We looked this morning in Sunday school how God, when they were building a tabernacle, gifted men that were very artistic and could design beautiful things. Wherever God has gifted you, wired you up, you can give that back to God. Your time, your talents, your treasures, your financial resources. Again, when they built the tabernacle, everybody gave with what? A willing heart. And there was so much stuff, they didn't know what to do with it. We can give our treasures back to God. Our time, our talents, our treasures, our temples. This body that God has for us, He's given to us. Now, this temple that we have can be used as a vessel of honor or dishonor. What does it say here in 2 Timothy? If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, set apart, ready for the master's use, prepared unto every good work. We can give ourselves to God. Excuse me this morning. And last we can give to God is our testimony. Has God saved you? Has he sanctified you? Has he set you apart? Do you know God? That is something you can give back to God to be a vessel of honor unto him. God wants us to be this. Verse 19, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are what? His. He's got you. He knows. Now, when Jesus was going to go to the cross and he looked out at the Last Supper and said, one of you shall betray me. And they all went around saying, is it I? Is it I? Is it I? Nobody knew who the traitor would be. God knew. He said, haven't I chosen you 12 and one of you is a demon? God knew. See, we can have imposters, we can have hypocrites, we can have deceivers among our midst. And they can look so good on the outside. God says some people, they come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are what? Ravening wolves. God knows those that are his. He knows who belong to him. The foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. The Lord knows them that are his. Let everyone that names the name of Christ, you're a Christian, you name the name of Christ, depart from what? Iniquity. You can be a vessel of honor. A vessel of honor. Now, maybe I can paint this picture this way. We were little kids, and you're acting up, and your dad's at work, and your mom's taking care of you, and your mom says to you, just wait till your father gets home. Just wait till your daddy gets home. Now, in my mind's eye, I can see little kids just peering out the window, just hoping daddy doesn't come home tonight for dinner because they don't want to meet daddy, you know. But if you have that same mindset, because one day we as God's people, we're going to see our Heavenly Father. And the last thing I want to do when Jesus Christ has died on the cross for me and he has given his life for me, and when he's in the garden sweating great drops of blood and saying, not my will, but thy will be done. And he took the nails in his hands for me and his foot for me. And he died on the cross. And the last thing I want to do is go up and kick him in the shins with my sin and say, here, take another lick. Do you know what I'm saying? Because I want to be that vessel of honor for him that honors him and honors my God and honors my Redeemer for what he's done for me. But the reality is in verse 20, but in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, the righteous who live for God, those that are pure and clean and living for God, but also of wood and of clay, and some to honor, some to dishonor. Now, if a man, you have this choice, if a man. Now, I have a choice in life how I live. Now, my Heavenly Father, does he love me? He loves me with everlasting love. Does he care about me? He cares. If you willfully sin after coming to a knowledge of God, and you willfully sin, how does my Heavenly Father look at that? Does he have a spiritual woodshed, so to speak? Do you know what I'm saying? Does he chasten every son whom he what? Receives. The Bible says if you're living in sin and you say you're a Christian and God isn't dealing with you, you better check out your salvation. Because everyone that names the name of Christ should depart from iniquity. Because God loves us. He's not going to let us continue in sin. He's a father that purges his children. If a man, now you don't want to go down that wrong road, therefore purge himself, hey, I'm going to be a vessel of honor. He shall be a vessel of honor, set apart, sanctified, ready for the master's use. I want to serve him and prepared for every good work. Now, with that in mind, turn back to Proverbs here. Keep that thought in mind, Proverbs. Chapter 25. These are also the Proverbs of Solomon, which the men of Hezekiah, king of Judah, copied out. Now, don't go too fast past verse 1 here. Because Hezekiah, king of Judah, copied out. Now, what do we know about Hezekiah? Well, let's look at Hezekiah. Turn to 2 Chronicles 28. Now, a vessel of honor. Okay, 2 Chronicles 29, then we're going to go to 28 here. 2 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 1. This is Hezekiah in Proverbs we just looked at. Hezekiah began to reign when he was 25 years old. 25 years old, he began to reign. He reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. Started when he was 25, reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Abijah, the daughter of Zechariah. Verse 2, he did which was, what's that next word? Right in the sight of the Lord according to all that David his father had done. Was he a vessel of honor? He was a vessel of honor. He did what was right in God's sight. Now, you have to appreciate where he's coming from. Turn over one chapter back, chapter 28. Ahaz, okay? This is who was just before Hezekiah got on the scene. Ahaz was 20 years old when he began to reign. He reigned 16 years in Jerusalem. He did not that which was right in the sight of the Lord like David his father. Was he a vessel of honor or dishonor? Dishonor, that was who he was. Look at verse 2. He walked in the ways of the kings of Israel, made the molten image for Balaam. Now, Balaam was the Phoenician idol. You ever remember this lady called Jezebel? How many people name their daughters Jezebel? Anybody? How many name your dog Jezebel? Maybe some. But you never name your children. She's a bad woman. Bad with a big B. And that's what he followed after. Now, he had the law. He had the Ten Commandments. He had the scriptures. He had the testimony of all the prophets. He had the Word of God. But he didn't have God in his life. Now, the heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked. Who can know it? He had this opportunity, but he walked in the ways of the kings of Israel, not in the ways of the Lord. He worshiped Baal. Now, Baal was the god of thunder and lightning. Baal was the fertility god, so to speak. And do you remember when Elijah said to Ahab, there'll be no rain these 3 years until the word of the Lord comes? And that was a direct attack on Baal, because Baal was the one that sent the thunder and sent the rain. And Elijah said, there's going to be no rain here until the word of the Lord comes. You know, Ahab said, oh, big deal, who's this guy? Well, one day went by, and a week went by, and a month went by, and a year went by, and another year went by, and he says, anybody seen Elijah around here anywhere? They were looking for him high and low. 3 years went by. Finally, he shows up and the whole thing on Mount Carmel. And God sent fire down and showed him. Everybody fell on their face saying the true God. Ahaz here, and he knew all these things. God was a true God, but he did not want to be a vessel of honor. How bad did it get? Verse 3. Moreover, he burned incense in the valley of the sons of Hinnom and burn his children in the fire, the god Molech. They had these statues where Molech has these arms out, and you had to sacrifice your children. They would put their children in there, and the fire would be built down in the bottom there, and the children would roll in there, and they'd burn their children alive, and they were worshiping Molech. What barbarianism. And that's what Ahaz here did. He burned his sons. Burnt the children in the fire after the abominations of the heathen whom the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel. He sacrificed also, burnt incense in every high place and under every hill, under every green tree. And you know, God looked down on this wicked man and he said, this isn't right. Verse 5, wherefore the Lord delivered him into the hands of the kings of Syria. Ahaz, you going to live like this? You're going to have problems now. Here come the king of Syria upon his kingdom, and it didn't go well for him. And well, there's so much in this chapter we could unpack, but we'll never get to Proverbs if we do. But turn to verse 23 of 2 Chronicles. Down at the end of that verse, because the gods of the kings of Syria defeated by Syria to help them, therefore I will sacrifice to them, he said, that they may help me. Well, what does the end of verse 23 say of 2 Chronicles 28? But they were the ruin of him and all Israel. What a mess. Not only did he ruin his life, he ruined all Israel. Not a vessel of honor. Okay, now I want you to picture this. Judah is devastated. Ahaz has made a mess of the kingdom, of the people. Now, you're Hezekiah. You come on the scene and you're the king now. And you look all around and you say, man, this is a mess over here and a mess here and a mess here and a problem over here. How did we get like this? How did I get like this? Look at verse 3 of chapter 20. Hezekiah, now we're going to get back to Proverbs here in just a minute. But he looked and he said, you know what the problem is? It's not military. It's not an economic problem. It's a spiritual problem. In the first year of his reign, in the first month, opened the doors of the house of the Lord and what? Repaired them. Hezekiah, he said, you know, this mess we're in is because we've neglected God. We've turned our back on God, and we have been brought low because we've forsaken God. Now, I want you to keep that in mind. We're going to go to Proverbs, then we're going to come back to here. Turn back to Proverbs here. Now, chapter 25, now, Ahaz, the king, he totally took away the worship of God. Totally took away the word of the Lord out of the people's hands in chapter 28. Okay, now in Proverbs 25, these are the Proverbs of Solomon, which the men of Hezekiah of Judah copied out. You know what Hezekiah did? He said, man, we're going to get the word of the Lord back in here again. This word of God that has been suppressed, buried, hidden away, we're going to bring it back out again. And they started copying in and said, king, here's the word of God. Here's the word of the Lord. Here's God's word to us. And they were copying it out. And they were giving it back to the people. And what Hezekiah did, he opened the temple, but he went back to the word of God and said, this is where we've lost our way by not honoring the word of God. And Hezekiah said, men, we're going to get this word back where it needs to be. These are the proverbs. So it's the men of Hezekiah, king of Judah, copied out. Hezekiah said, you get that word of the Lord going here again, and we're going to be in tune with it, and we're going to bring it out to where God's people know it again and have it again and are following again. Because this mess we're in, it's a spiritual problem. Now, keep that thought in mind. Go back here to what Hezekiah did. In chapter 29. Now, He did what was right in God's sight. He was a good man. He opened verse 3. He confronted the spiritual problem. The house of the Lord, they were closed. He said, guess what, men? See that house over there, God's house? It's open for business now. Them doors are open again. And guess what? God's going to be the center of our spiritual life once again. And we're going to put back in place what should have never been lost. The mess we're in is because we've neglected God and His ways. So he opened the house of the Lord, verse 3, repaired them. He brought the priests and the Levites and gathered them together in the east street. And he said to them, hear me, ye Levites, sanctify yourselves and sanctify the house of the Lord, your God of your fathers, and carry forth. What's that next word in verse 5? Carry forth what? The filthiness out of the holy place. He cleansed it before service. He says, we're going to do business here. Before we do business, you get this temple in order and you clean it out. You get all the rubbish out. You get all the defiling things that defiled the house of the Lord. All the idolatrous things that Ahaz brought into this holy place. And you cleanse it. And you sanctify it. Because he had the spiritual understanding. Verse 6, for our fathers have trespassed and done that which was evil in the eyes of the Lord our God, and forsaken him, and have turned their face out of the habitation of the Lord, and turned their backs. And they have shut up the door of the porch and put out the lamps. That lamp was supposed to burn night and day, and they put it out. And not burn incense, nor to offer burnt offerings in the holy place unto the God of Israel. Wherefore the wrath of the Lord was upon Judah and Jerusalem. Enough spiritual discernment to see that when people neglect the word of God, they're to their own hurt and downfall and calamity. Now, what made America a great nation? It's because we honored God's word. The Ten Commandments were taught to our children and our children's children. They knew right from wrong. But today, find the Ten Commandments in the public schools. You'll find them buried somewhere, any place. But that's our problem in America. Why is there violence in the street? Because God's been neglected. God's ways have not been honored. Wherefore, the wrath of the Lord was upon Judah and Jerusalem. He delivered them to trouble, to astonishment, to hissing as you see with your eyes, or jeering. Verse 10, you know what Hezekiah said? No, it's in mine heart. Mine heart. Mine heart. Any people here today have a heart for God? Anybody here today can say, for me and my house, the culture may be going this way, but for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. For me and my house, we're going to do what honors God. Verse 10 of chapter 20, now it was in mine heart to make a covenant with the Lord God of Israel, that his fierce wrath may be turned away from us. My sons, be not negligent. For the Lord has chosen you to stand before him, to serve him, that you should be ministers unto him and burn incense. You know, everybody has their place, their purpose, God's calling. What has God called you to do? How can you stand before him and serve him? Everybody doing their proper place is going to make God's kingdom move forward. And Hezekiah was encouraging the priests and the Levites to do what God's called them to do. I like verse 12. Then the Levites arose. They got it. They got it. They arose. Verse 15. And they gathered their brethren and sanctified themselves and came according to the commandments of the Lord to cleanse the house of the Lord in verse 15. Verse 20, and Hezekiah the king rose up early and gathered the rulers of the city and went up to the house of the Lord. They were going to worship God. Verse 24, in the end of the verse, the king commanded that the burnt offerings and the sin offerings should be made for all Israel. Verse 27, and Hezekiah came in to offer the burnt offering upon the altar. And when burnt offering began, the songs of the Lord began with trumpets and with instruments ordained of King David, King of Israel. And all the congregation worshiped. It started with Hezekiah. And he got the priest in order. He got the house in order. And all the congregation started worshiping. And the singers sang. And the trumpeters sounded. And this continued until the burnt offering was finished. And when they made an end of offering, verse 29, the king and all that were present with him bowed themselves in worship. You know, would America be a different nation if the churches across America were filled with worshipers of God? Would we be a different nation? Would we be a better nation? Would we be a safer nation and a more prosperous nation, a more secure nation if people feared God and worshiped him? But where did it all start? It started with one man that says, for me and my house, we're going to serve God. And he had in his heart to have a rallying cry. He had in his heart to do what was right in God's sight. In verse 36 of 2 Chronicles 29, and Hezekiah rejoiced in all the people that God had prepared the people, for this thing was done suddenly. Where did this come from? Where did this revival come from? You know where it comes from? In order for a fire to burn, you need wood. And if you want revival fires, you know what the wood is? The Word of God in people's hearts. People need the Word of the Lord. And in Proverbs chapter 25 here, Hezekiah said the Word of God is going to be paramount here. These are the Proverbs of Solomon, been buried, hidden, forsaken. The men of Hezekiah. Hezekiah said, man, you get this Word out. And they copied it out. Now, look at what he wrote here. Now, what you think is these Proverbs. Hezekiah said, it's the glory of God to conceal a thing. Now, how is it the glory of God to conceal a thing? Are your sins covered by the blood of Christ? Are your sins covered?
Yes.
Is that concealing a thing? What is he concealing? Or what? Our sins are covered by the blood. It's God's glory to forgive you of your sins and to cover them by the blood of Christ. It's the glory of God that he can overlook our sins and our transgressions. It's the glory of God to conceal a thing, but the honor of king to search out a matter. Now, what was Hezekiah doing? He looked at the kingdom and said, the land of Judah is a mess here. And you know what he searched out the matter? He said, the worship of God's forsaken. The priests and the Levites aren't doing their job. And he went down through the list here. The temple needs to be cleaned. And the people of God need to worship. And they need to gather together and sing praises and worship God. And he searched out a matter. And he was bringing it back to the glory of God and the honor of God. It's the glory of God to conceal a thing. The honor of kings to search out a matter. The heavens for height, the earth for depth. The heart of the king is unsearchable. You know, I bet there was people in the kingdom say to Hezekiah, why are you doing this? Why all this fuss about the temple? You know, there's some people that are so spiritually dead, they can have no understanding when a man of God stands up and says, this is the way we need to go. They're like clueless, like, what is he talking about? They're just so blind. The heart of the king is unsearchable. Hezekiah, people may not have understood what he was trying to do, but he knew he was on the right path after the path of God. Take away the dross from the silver, and there shall... The dross is all the impurities. You heat up the silver, the impurities come to the top. You scrape it off until you get the pure silver there. Take away the dross from the silver, there shall come forth a vessel for the refiner. Now, I just wonder if Hezekiah... When he wrote this in Proverbs, in relation to Ahaz in chapter 28, who went before him, and what a mess he made of the kingdom. He said, take away the dross from the silver, that should come forth a vessel. Take away the wicked from before the king, and his throne shall be established in righteousness. Now, in chapter 28 of 2 Chronicles, did Ahaz surround himself with godly people? No, not even a little bit. And I think when Hezekiah had these men drawing forth the wisdom of Solomon, and he says, his throne shall be established in righteousness. And that was his heart's cry. That was what he desired as a king, that his throne would be established in righteousness, was right in God's sight. Do we need to have respect for those in authority over us? Is that important? If a policeman should look at you and say, drop that gun, should we drop that gun immediately? Absolutely. Why? Because he speaks with what? Authority, given to him by society to keep peace in our land. If a policeman says, don't run, what should we do? We don't run. See, authority has, given by society, has a place in it. Some people have no respect for authority. Look at verse 6. Put not forth thyself in the presence of the king, and stand not in the place of great men. For it is better than it is said unto thee, come up hither, than thou should say, be put lower in the presence of the prince whom thine eyes have seen. Humility. You put yourself under subjection to those in authority over you, and you have humility to those that are greater than you. Does God have an order of authority in society? He does. And we need to respect those in authority over us and be humble and be obedient to the laws of our land and to those that God has put over us in authority. Go not forth hastily to strive, lest thou know not what to do in the end thereof, when thy neighbor has put thee to shame. Debate thy cause with thy neighbor himself, and discover not a secret to another, lest he heareth it, and it put thee to shame, and thine infamy turn not away. You know, choose your battles carefully. Don't fight with somebody you don't have a quarrel with, because you may get tangled up with something you don't know how to get out of. You got a quarrel with somebody? Just one-on-one, work it out. And how do you avoid conflicts sometimes? Verse 11. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pitchers of silver. This vessel of honor for God. You want to be a vessel of honor? Respect God. Give him. He's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We respect him. We honor him. You want to be a vessel of honor? A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pitchers of silver. Watch your words. You're going to be a vessel of honor? Why are words like toothpaste? It's so easy it comes out, but it's so hard to put them back in again. Make sure you choose your words wisely. You know, I think King Ahaz, if he had thought about the path he was going down, probably never would. If he knew that when he went from here to here, it was going to be the ruin of him, he probably wouldn't have done it. But you know what God says? If he says no and stop, what do? We stop. He doesn't have to explain himself. He doesn't have to justify himself. If he says no is no, that's the end of the discussion. And when God's word is fitly spoken, it's like apples of gold and pitchers of silver. Because we want to have a heart, just like verse 12 says, as an earring of gold and an ornament of fine gold, so is a wise reprover upon an obedient ear. Sometimes we get out of the way. God sends a wise reprover. What's a wise reprover? Somebody that gets in your face and says, what are you doing? Why? What are you doing? This isn't right. You better not go down this road. Let me tell you, if you keep doing this, it's not going to work out real good for you. An obedient ear will think what God says, what this person is saying to me that's speaking for God, and they have an obedient ear, and they hear it, and they say, I get it. You're right. I'm not going to go this way. I want to go this way, like you said. That's an obedient ear. See, apples of gold, words fitly spoken, is like apples of gold. You can have that word for people so that you can be a wise reprover upon an obedient ear. How do you like confrontation? You like it? Nobody likes it. But is it necessary sometimes? It is. It is absolutely necessary sometimes. Because God can give you, you may say, I don't know what to say. I'll tell you how you approach it. You pray about it, you get wise counsel, and then you just step into the situation in humility and say, let me just share how I feel about this. In my opinion, what you're doing is so wrong. And you're going to reap these consequences if you keep going down this road. Now, if the person has an obedient ear, they hear you. And you may spare this person all this pain. Now, in 2 Chronicles, Ahaz, he caused so much misery for himself, for his nation, for his people. The land was devastated. He did not have an obedient ear. Hezekiah, he had an obedient ear, and God worked in his life, and God blessed him exceedingly because he heard the word of the Lord, and he was faithful to God's message. For Hezekiah, how did this work out for him? His kingdom was off the charts. God was blessing because he was a man of God. All of a sudden, out of nowhere comes Sennacherib. Remember that? Him and his kingdom. And they were pounding. Lachish, they took that city and they were heading toward Jerusalem. And he sent commanders and told Hezekiah, hey, none of the gods of their lands have protected you, and neither is your God going to protect you. Hezekiah took that letter and went to the temple of the Lord. Why could he go there? Because he opened the doors. He went to God and he laid it out before God and said, God, you see what this man's saying? He's right. They've devastated all these nations and their gods were no gods, but I know you're the true God and I've given my life to you and this vessel and these people belong to you and we have no power against these people. What are we to do? You're a vessel of honor? Hezekiah just laid it out before God. God, I don't know what we're going to do here. You know, the scripture says, in the night, the Lord sent one angel. And how many of the Syrians were killed in one night? 185,000. Gone. Do you think Hezekiah the next day, when they saw all that army just devastated, they probably said, no big deal. Or were you thinking they were like, yeah, God, you brought us through. God's a great God and you delivered us. You know, but why did that happen? Because he opened the temple. He cleansed the temple. He had the people worshiping God and they were connecting with God. And when they needed God, when there was no help, guess what? God showed up. Where does revival start? What did Hezekiah do? In verse 1, the Proverbs of Solomon, which the men of Hezekiah, they copied them out. If you want to see revival, you get back to the Word of God. And you let God's Word rule and reign in your life. And you put that first. Hebrews 10:25, what does that say? What does Hebrews 10:25 say?
Fellowship.
Hebrews 10:25, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as a manner of some is, so much more as you see the day what? Approaching. Now, is that in God's word? Why isn't this church filled over? Because there's people that did not obey Hebrews 10:25. All across America, churches are not filled. Is this all of God's people in our community? I don't think so. But see, people don't take it seriously. You get back to the Word of God and you obey God and you do what God says. Guess what? When you're in a place where there's no way out, God's going to show up for you. But you neglect God and you cast God behind your back like Ahaz did, it's going to be the ruin of you. Hezekiah, hey, we're going to copy this word out. We're getting this word out. What does 2 Timothy say? In a great house, there is not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and of clay, of earth, some to honor, some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto what? Honor, sanctified, and ready for the master's use, prepared unto every good work. Let's pray here this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you that we can be a vessel of honor. Thank you for the life and testimony of Hezekiah. Thank you for the man of God he was, that he chose to be a vessel of honor, that he put you first and opened the doors of the temple and rallied the priests and the Levites together and got God's people together to worship you and drew their hearts and minds back to the true and living God that gives life and breath to all men. Father, thank you for his testimony of wanting the men of God to copy out the word of God so that the people of God could have God's word once again, that it wasn't buried and neglected. Father, may we be that vessel of honor, fit and ready for you, Lord. Father, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Lord, it's not my kingdom, it's not my will that's important. It's your kingdom and your will that needs to be accomplished. So help us, Lord, this week as your people to draw near to you and to put your word first and to every day be in your word and to read the scriptures, because then our blessing and our prosperity will flow from an obedient ear to your word. Thank you, Father, for being our God. Thank you that you'll never leave us or forsake us. You're an ever-living God who searches each vessel, and you know us better than we know ourselves. So, Lord, may we be honest with you and be a clean vessel to confess our sins and forsake anything that displeases you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.